When you start earning more money, you start to really start thinking about how to reduce your biggest liability, which is taxes. And so that's where I, you know, it all hit me that I was paying $100,000 in taxes a year, and there's better ways to do this.
Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the show. Today, I'm so excited to announce our very special guest, Eng Tang. Eng, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. Good to be here.
Yeah, awesome. So everyone, Eng has a very inspirational story. He is the CEO and founder of Tozi Capital and is an experienced real estate investor with $150 million of assets under management. Eng is an economist by training from the Wharton School of Business. He also has experience leading data science and analytics at Apple, Capital One, and AT&T. He is the classic immigrant story, born in a refugee camp in Thailand, escaping the Khmer Rouge and finding success in data and math in America. Eng focuses on high cash flow investments and providing passive income to investors by acquiring and optimizing multifamily senior living facilities and Bitcoin mining operations. Well, Eng, we're going to have you on again to talk about your childhood and what that was like. But first, for now, let's just focus on real estate. Thanks so much for being on. Will you tell us how you got started in real estate? Obviously, you have a very diverse background in technology. How did you get started in real estate and why?
I used to day trade when I was in high school, and that got me into Wharton. And I talked, and then I was thinking about, you know, and I got into investment banking. All those things require a lot of math and a lot of understanding of, you know, macroeconomic conditions. But one thing I didn't like about it was the unpredictable nature of it. And when the last financial crisis happened in 2008, I was working in investment banking. I, you know, lost half my portfolio, like a lot of people did. And I realized that I really gravitated as a person towards predictability. And for me, that predictability came in the refuge of multifamily apartment buildings. And I bought my first triplex right around that time in 2009. And I saw that it was clearly a really great cash flowing asset. It was a third the price of what it was a year ago. And I could make 15% cash on cash on it. And I was thinking, like, I like this. And I bought it, rehabbed it, I refinanced it. I bought another one a year later and kept doing it ever since. But the feeling of just getting passive income, and it wasn't as passive as, you know, everyone makes it out to be, but the feeling of getting income as sort of a base layer of support was very strong to me. And it also was very predictable. I knew exactly how much I would get every month. And I didn't have to worry about watching the ticker on a stock tracker. So I have always gravitated towards the secure, more predictable investment opportunities. And that's why I really love real estate.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for that overview. So you started building your own portfolio piece by piece. Is that right? Can you tell us about, you know, your first property and then your second and, you know, how that process went for you?
I bought my first triplex. I remember clearly it was around $126,000. And, you know, was really cash flowing pretty well. There was one tenant there. I essentially ran in and remodeled it very lightly. And I was, in terms of not too much, just exterior, interior paints, and some, you know, better cabinets. I found that I could find tenants pretty easily by getting really great pictures and great, you know, just making it marketing it very well. And as soon as I started realizing I was making this much cash flow, I went to get a refinance out of it and found that I couldn't get actually all of my money that I put into it less than 9 months ago, and then buy another one. And I kept buying again and again. So that's how I got started and got me really addicted to that. But all the time I was doing that, I've also been working in corporate America and working in these other jobs, which has been sort of the catalyst for it. You know, having a W-2 income is really good to get a good bank loan. And so that's been, you know, my journey with, I've always seen it as sort of a side hustle until more recently when I became my main hustle.
Okay, awesome. So you were just buying properties, refinancing, I mean, improving them, refinancing. And how many units did you have that you were managing yourself before you decided to, you know, before you were kind of deciding you wanted to move into syndications?
I was managing close to 100 units before I started doing my own syndication. And the reason why I started doing syndications was all my friends and colleagues who I've worked with or know me, I talk about real estate all the time. I talk about the tax advantage nature of real estate. And a lot of them kept asking, can I invest with you? Can I invest with you? And it wasn't until I was really, really comfortable in what I was doing in terms of making money and doing this as a business that I started considering it. So I started syndicating 3 years ago. And really, my intent was I wanted to buy these properties. I knew that if I had more money, I had more scale, I could have better economics and better outcomes, better predictability. And that, you know, a lot of the investors, a lot of friends and colleagues I had to start just didn't have access to this kind of returns or this kind of investment. So for a lot of them, it was like a really great match of providing them access to great investment sources and for me to get better economics from my investments.
Awesome. So 100 units that you're managing on your own and before you moved into syndications, and were you the property manager on those? Did you hire property manager? At what point did you hire out property management?
I hired property management right away. And I, even before I syndicated, I started hiring property management. So before I got into syndication, I worked at Apple and I have very high opportunity costs on my time. And so I always think about process and how to scale that. So it made sense for me to always consider creating great process in place. And that starts with property management company, but that's not all you need to do. You know, hiring a property management company really depends on how effective you manage them and how effective they are. So for me, it's been about creating these processes in place to optimize our leases and optimize our retention of our tenants and taking all the things I've learned in my many years in corporate America at Apple, building teams and companies and great consumer-facing products and applying it on our real estate investments.
Awesome. Yeah, I really like that. And so when did you decide that you wanted to go into real estate full-time and leave your corporate America? I mean, it seems like you've done a lot of, you know, you've had a lot of great experience in the roles that you were doing with a lot of very specialized knowledge. Why did you want to move into real estate full-time?
It's always been a passion of mine, and I didn't really think about it as a career. I thought of it as a retirement plan. And a few years ago, it became my retirement plan. I started making more money on my passive income, nearly tax deferred or tax free, relative to my really high paying Apple income in my mid 30s, and realizing I love doing this more and I can scale that. So I got the comfort of just doing it with my own portfolio and then going into then syndications and helping people out and then realizing that I can, as long as I make a lot of money for other people, I will make money myself.
Awesome. So I know you're really passionate about, you know, taxes and cash flow. Can you tell us about, you know, why those are your favorite things about real estate investing and how that fits into your investment philosophy?
I think the big thing is I used to pay a lot of taxes. You know, working in corporate America as a W-2 employee at Apple, making quite a bit of money in California, you pay a lot of taxes. You have a very high marginal tax rate. And when it comes to my real estate investments, they've all been classified as passive income. And I am able to use depreciation. And with the latest 2017 Trump tax cuts, they had more favorable rules and regulations that allowed me to accelerate the depreciation and essentially net out no income or no taxable income on my cash flow for foreseeable future. And so the way that our investments work with our syndications, you know, an investor can invest with us and get 12% every year, 1% a month, and essentially have that as tax deferred, tax free, if you do it right, tax deferred income where, you know, compared to earning that in corporate America, you're essentially comparing that as a 17% return. So, you know, having tax-free income really helps because at a certain point in your life, you realize your biggest expense in life is taxes. And so you can, you should, you know, the phases of your growth of wealth is you want to start saving money so you can invest and earn, but there's only so much you can save. Then you should start thinking about how you can earn more money. And then when you start earning more money, you start to really start thinking about how to reduce your biggest liability, which is taxes. And so that's where I, you know, it all hit me that, you know, I was paying hundreds of thousands of dollars in taxes a year and there's better ways to do this.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Would you just, you know, I want to just circle back to something that you touched on, which is this phases of growing your wealth. And, you know, you kind of mentioned them quickly. Would you provide a little bit more color for our beginner investors who are maybe thinking about how to do that?
So in terms of building your wealth, you say?
Yeah. You know, you were talking about the phases like saving and growing your income. Just any other color you want to add to that?
This show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com, and sign up for our newsletter.
Yeah, I think one of the things that struck me as I navigated corporate America was everyone was just really focused on paycheck and income. And I think, you know, not everybody's an entrepreneur, not sure everybody, you know, can have less responsibilities or, you know, have that freedom to do that. But having a source of passive income really changed my life. It gave me flexibility and freedom. And it wasn't even that much passive income relative to how much I was making. But just having a bare minimum of $1,000 a month, $1,500 a month, and it started growing over time, it gave me a sense that for my corporate life, I could negotiate bolder. I could go bigger. I could take bigger career risks because I wasn't scared about losing my income source, my livelihood, because I had this base layer of support. And I grew up pretty poor, so I didn't really need that much. I knew that I could live off very little. But, you know, I think it really helps you open your eyes on how you shouldn't rely too much on one thing to survive. And I met lots of great successful people at Apple. A lot of them had a lot of wealth, and a lot of the wealth was concentrated in Apple stock and their primary home. And if they ever left a job, they would have very little income to show for it, or none at all. And so they always were under a lot of pressure to achieve and work on it. And so that also doesn't leave you enough mind share and space to consider, you know, a great side hustle like real estate investing. And so through that, you know, interaction with many of these people, I realized a lot of them just don't have time. And so with syndications, thing I loved about it, and I was an investor in syndications before I started my own syndication, I loved the fact that I could focus on my family, I could focus on my career when I needed to, but still put my capital to work and still earn passive income.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah, I think I really like the way that you broke that down. If you have, even if your net worth is very high, if you don't have passive income, then you're kind of required to keep working at your job or working at another job until for the foreseeable future. So thanks so much for breaking that down. And, you know, I know that you, Aang, you don't just invest in real estate. And I'd like to for you to touch on, you know, why you would, or what sorts of other asset classes you invest in and how you've decided to create a diversified portfolio for yourself.
I always like to invest in investments that have asymmetric risks and information. I think public markets are good, but I think they're, you know, information is out there generally. I'm not opposed to private markets. I have lots of stocks, equities, but they're mostly index fund. I'm not a, you know, active trader. But I invest heavily in senior living facilities, for example, and they have great income potential, much higher than multifamily. And I have nearly 1,000 units of multifamily. So I love both asset classes, but I love asset classes that have a moat around them that creates asymmetric benefits if you can go over that moat. And for a senior living, it's an operational moat. It's who the heck would go and buy a senior living facility and operate it? It's very much an HR problem and a process problem. Having great operations allows you to maximize earning potential in a business that also has an underlying benefit of being a real estate business. So you get all the tax benefits of real estate. But you can get, for example, 5 times the rent compared to a comparable multifamily in the same area, but only have 3 times the cost. And those economic dynamics is very attractive, but it also means that there's not that many people in the space. And so if you can specialize in a space that not many people are in, you can make quite a bit of, you know, potential income.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I mean, the demographic trends towards senior living are just pretty compelling. So what kinds of senior living deals are you investing in or looking at right now?
So we're acquiring several properties right now. In fact, we are under contract 5 right now. And, you know, we acquired 4 earlier this year. I think there's a great buying opportunity to buy the value-added senior living facilities, as well as partner with strong operators that have great local expertise and can maintain great operational efficiency. So we're buying a lot in Florida, building a senior living opportunity zones. It's great, both cash flow as well as tax advantage in Florida. And we're doing potentially launching in Texas soon.
Okay, great. I really like that combo of senior living plus opportunity zone investing. Will you just break down opportunity zones for our investors who might not be familiar with them?
It's one of my favorite topics, opportunity zones. And it goes very well with senior living because opportunity zones have 3 major benefits and they were introduced in 2017. The 3 major benefits are 1, if you owe capital gains on anything, so stock, crypto, real estate, business, collectibles, etc., art, if you have that profit, you would pay capital gains tax on, either short-term or long-term. With an opportunity zone, if you invest within an opportunity zone fund within a specific time frame, typically 180 days from when you sell, you can now defer that capital gains. So let's say you sold something for $20,000 and the cost basis was $100,000. You owe $100,000 of capital gains tax, meaning that if it was short-term, you owe like nearly $40,000 taxes. Instead, invest $100,000, invest the whole basis of $100,000, defer that for 5.5 years until end of 2026 or 2027, and then pay that in the future, which is always a great thing. One of the benefits of real estate is deferrals, right? That's why we invest in 401ks. We defer our taxes to the future so we can compound and grow the bigger basis, the pre-tax basis. And so this allows us to do that. But then the second benefit is at that point in time, you do owe those taxes. It's not eliminated, but it's reduced by 10%. So now you not only owe, you know, $40,000, for example, in the future, which given time value money and inflation, you know, it's just you just owe less relatively, but you also owe absolutely less because you actually owe 10% less as the rule applies, gives you 10% discount on your taxable income. This applies only until the end of this year, 2021. And then the third benefit, and one of my favorites, is if you hold it for 10 years, and this is why most opportunity zone investments are 10 years, and it's really great marriage with senior living, all future capital gains, not the ones that you incurred, not the ones that you invested in, but all future capital gains, the ones that the property accumulates and accrues and generates and builds up because real estate generally goes up in value over time, and the depreciation we capture is also capital gains, that gets eliminated completely. So instead of having any 1031 exchange or any other tax deferral strategy, you just go exit in 10 years and you don't pay any tax liability. So 3 benefits. 1, tax deferral on the capital gains that you owe. 2, a reduction of the capital gains in end of 2026 by 10%. And 3, an elimination of all future capital gains if you hold it for 10 years.
Awesome. Thanks so much for breaking that down. And I think it's just such an important something that people really should be looking into and making aware of as part of their investment portfolio. Why do you think that's such a good marriage with senior living?
I think the great underlying trend of senior living is that it's a long-term investment for me. It has great fundamentals we have an aging population. We have a chronic shortage of supply and demand in that supply of senior living facilities. Based on the fact that we can essentially own these things for 10 years, have a great exit outcome, and have the exit outcome, essentially that sale, that capital gains, that profit be eliminated, now I'm thinking like, this is actually a really great way to not pay any taxes on and have a really great long-term investment that has strong long-term fundamentals.
Makes sense. Okay. And then last question on senior living. So, you know, there are several different types of senior living, for example, like assisted living, skilled nursing, independent living, et cetera. What kinds of properties do you like to focus on and why?
I really want to focus on, I've been focusing on senior living a lot. And for senior living, I focus on assisted living and memory care. And I typically focus on private pay options of those. That gets us away from the regulations and the bureaucracy. That gets away from having requirements on nurses and doctors and staff and gets away from that medical side of things, more as a home for and a community for elders. And it's a bit lighter touch. It's a bit higher profit margin and it's more predictable for us.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, well, I'm sure we could talk at length about senior living, but let's wrap it up for today. Thank you so much, Aang, for coming on the show. We'll have to have you back to just do a deeper dive into senior living. But thanks so much for coming on. Will you please give the listeners a way to get in touch with you and anything else you'd like to share?
I would love for anyone to check out our website. Typically have 3 to 4 deals at any given time. Right now we have 4. I don't know when this is being released, but our website is tozicapital.com, TOUZICapital.com. I'm sure, you know, we'll have in show notes, but, and then feel free to sign up and then reach out to me. It'll be a pretty automated procedure for you to reach out, but my email is also Aang@tozicapital.com.
Awesome. Well, I hope you all reach out to Aang and check out his stuff. Thank you so much, Aang, for coming on. We'll see you next time.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction. Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate. We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. Connect online at www.lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com, for tons of free educational content to further your success.